This is Michael Easter. A quick note that if you're hearing this, you are not a member of 2%. Here's what that means. You'll be able to listen to the full episode of any of our podcasts that are published on Monday for free. Totally free. So enjoy. But you'll only get a preview of our episodes that are published on Wednesdays and Fridays. So if you want to become a member and get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes, please become a member at twopct.com. Thanks, and enjoy the episode. Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, and our episode today is the inactivity paradox. So we are exploring why some inactive people do not get pain and do not get sickness. Because if we can understand that, we can start to weave things into our day that improve our health, improve our fitness, and improve our performance, all while at rest. Quick housekeeping before we dive in. We have a winner for the 2% Screen Time Challenge. Congratulations and thank you to everyone who joined in on that challenge with the ClearSpace app. I think it was amazing. I got a lot of emails from people who said they significantly dropped their screen time. I hope it worked for you. It has definitely worked for me. ClearSpace, by far, in my opinion, the best app to control your screen time. Okay, our winner, the username is SJ Vantelberg. So if that is you, shoot me an email. You can collect your winnings. Now let's get into the episode. So last week, we covered a fascinating new study that uncovered the top two forms of exercise for preventing and treating back pain. I have that linked in the post at twopct.com if you want to read that piece. Top two forms of exercise for preventing and treating back pain. But a key reason that we get back pain, many researchers think, is how much time we spend being inactive. So these researchers, they also argue that sedentary time is also the largest factor in our primary killers like heart disease, certain cancers, diabetes, and much more. So, okay, that's the argument. All our inactive time, that is why our backs hurt, that is why our knees hurt, that is why our hips hurt, and that is also why we get things like heart disease, certain cancers, diabetes, etc. Great. But there's a problem with this argument. There are populations of people who spend just as much time being inactive as we do. Yet they don't suffer from the problems we do. They don't seem to get all these pains. They have much lower rates of our primary killers. So today we're going to explore that disconnect. We're going to dive into some curious findings about inactivity and health. You can call this the inactivity paradox. It suggests that inactivity, that is only part of the problem, a mild part too. And the lessons from this paradox, they can reduce your risk of pain. They can help you perform better in the gym or on the trail or on the bike or whatever you do. And they can also decrease your risk of dying early from any cause. The result, you will live better and you will live longer. So this inactivity paradox idea, it started this way. There's this guy, David Reichlin, and he is an anthropologist at the University of Southern California. And he noticed this strange paradox about human history and human biology. He wrote, and I'm quoting him here, "Recent work suggests human physiology is not well adapted to prolonged periods of inactivity, with time spent sitting increasing cardiovascular disease and mortality risk. These inactivity-associated health risks are somewhat paradoxical, since evolutionary pressures tend to favor energy-minimizing strategies, including rest." End quote. So in other words, being inactive hurts us, yet we evolved to be inactive. For example, a recent study noted that being sedentary increases your risk of pretty much everything: death, heart disease, cancers, diabetes, osteoporosis, depression, cognitive impairments, et cetera, on and on and on. So to understand why this was, this sort of strange inactivity paradox, Reichlin decides that he's going to travel to Tanzania to study the Hadza. The Hadza are a tribe of hunter-gatherers who live very similarly to our ancestors. So scientists will study hunter-gatherers generally to understand how humans lived for most of our history, and then that can give them insights into how we are adapted to live. But this study, it was not a standard study with the obvious, yeah, inactivity is bad and being more active is good outcome. In this guy's past trips to Tanzania, he had noticed something kind of strange. The Hadza seemed to spend just as much time being inactive as we do. They seemed to lounge around for a lot of the day. and yet they weren't getting the chronic diseases and pains that we do. So enter the study. He wanted to confirm whether his observations were true. He's a scientist, so okay, let's study this. So what he does is he goes back to Tanzania and he brings an arsenal of gear into the bush with him. He brings these scientific grade activity trackers to measure the tribe's time spent walking versus resting. He brings portable EMG machines to measure the muscle activity of the tribes as they rest. And he brings a bunch of notebooks and cameras to document the details of how these people are resting. So the tribe members would wear the activity trackers all day. And as tribe members were resting in camp, this guy would document how they were resting. And then he would use those EMG machines to measure their muscle activity. And his findings were quite surprising. He found that the Hadza spent 9.8 hours a day at rest. And that figure is actually more than we rest in the United States. So people in the US spend about 9 daily hours at rest. Other developed countries rest pretty much about the same. So what was the difference? The difference came when he analyzed his notes and the EMG data. The Hadza, they rest far differently than we do. So when we rest, we sit in comfortable chairs and couches. But Reichlin, the scientist, he discovered that when these tribe members were resting, they were sitting on the ground, or they were lying on the ground, or kneeling, or even sitting into a bodyweight squat position and holding that for a long amount of time. Now, I have a graph in the piece at twopct.com that shows you what percent of their resting came from lying down, came from kneeling, came from squatting, or came from just sitting on the ground. And I can tell you that zero was the amount of time they spent sitting in a chair. So resting positions like kneeling and squatting and ground sitting, the difference is they are not free. This type of resting, it lightly engages all the muscles in your lower body and trunk. So I want you to think of squatting. You're doing a bodyweight squat and you are holding that and resting there. When you do that, you have to activate your entire lower body and your trunk to keep yourself up, or you're going to fall over. When you sit on the ground, you kind of have to do the same thing. You have to activate your legs, you have to activate your core to keep your torso propped up. And this showed in the data that he got from the EMG machines. I have another graph that shows you all the different muscles that were worked and to what level in all the different positions that the tribe would rest in. It's really fascinating. Check it out, twopct.com. Now, the difference for us, though, is that we sit in chairs, and our comfortable chairs, they do all that muscular work for us. So when we sit in comfortable chairs, we don't so much as sit as we do just totally melt into their cushioning. Each of our muscles go slack like we've gone totally brain dead. So the entire reason that chairs are comfortable is because they require less physical effort. They do the work our muscles would normally do in the rest position. That is why chairs are comfortable. And we sit comfortably in chairs all the time. At the office in a chair with 7 different dials for optimal comfort, or in a padded dining chair when we eat, or in an overstuffed sofa when we watch Netflix or read. So we're like all comfortable chairs all the time. Meanwhile, the Hadza are not using chairs. For example, they're spending 2 daily hours in the bodyweight squat position. And that requires a lot of low-level muscle use. The average person today in the US, we spend no time in the bodyweight squat position. So Reichlin calls the theory that he came up with after going through all this data and research, he calls it the inactivity mismatch hypothesis. He wrote about it, and I'm going to quote him here. This hypothesis posits that our physiology evolved within the context of a high duration of sustained muscle activity through all parts of the waking day, both through physical activity and through resting postures that maintain low levels of muscle activity. Prolonged periods of muscular inactivity during chair sitting, a common element of daily life in industrialized populations, are best viewed as a key mismatch with our evolutionary past. In other words, we evolved to be mildly active even at rest. But our modern resting postures, that is to say sitting in chairs, they have removed all that. So this is just one other big way we've removed effort from our days and paid the price. For example, research shows that our type of inactivity with no muscle activation It's associated with the accumulation of higher levels of, for example, circulating triglycerides and cholesterol, and that increases our risk of heart disease. Yet the Hadza, meanwhile, they aren't getting heart disease. They're more active, their diet is different, even their rest is active. So it's much tougher for the bad stuff to accumulate when you're always working. And we, on the other hand, are rarely working. And the other part of this is that how we sit, it seems to also factor into our high rates of back pain. So back pain is pretty rare among the Hadza, and I spoke to Reichlin about this a while ago, and he basically told me that because they are squatting and sitting without their backs resting on a chair, their backs are much stronger than ours because their lower back is always active, slightly, somehow. But our modern chairs are removing all that light work we used to do as we rested. And because muscle is use it or lose it, our backs get weak over time. And then when we go to bend down and pick something up or move into a new position, our bodies and backs are a lot more brittle and pain sets in. So recall from last Wednesday that about 85% of back pain, it is labeled as nonspecific. So that is unseeable pain that just sort of appears from the ether. And scientists at Harvard estimate that about 97% of our nonspecific back pain is caused by all the sitting we do and the way that we live in the modern environment. Okay, we've got that out of the way. Now the question is, what do you do about it? We're going to go over four ways to rest better. And there are a lot of people who have been doing a lot of thinking on this. For example, Katie Bowman, Kelly and Juliet Starrett, Ido Portal, a bunch of other people. They argued that we need to rethink how we rest. So here are four basic ways that are useful. This is, of course, not an exhaustive list. There are many other ways, but I'm just giving four top-level ways. And the other reason that I have picked these is I don't think you need to totally overhaul the way you live. So number one, if you want to continue listening to this episode, please become a member of 2% with Michael Easter. Go to TWOPCT.com. Once you become a member, you'll get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes. Plus, you'll get the newsletter, which releases the most useful and practical health, performance, and mindset information online 3 times each week. Thanks.